Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Now Child Abuse Now Blog Talk Radio Show. We're excited to be here this evening with you. And if you would like to be a part of our panel this evening, we're actually going to have more of an open mic, it sounds like, is what we're doing. So we would love to have you call in and be a part of that. That number is 646-595-2118. Or you can go on to NASCA.org, that's NASCA.org, and you can listen online or, send us any information if that's something you want to do. And this evening, we have Annie on with me, and we are excited to have you with I'm excited to have you on with me tonight, Annie. So we are going to co-host team together and... and go ahead and, say the mission statement.
Okay. This is the mission statement of NASCA, the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, which is a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Here's the mission statement. We have a single purpose at NASCA: to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so with only two goals. One, educating the public, especially as related to helping society get over its taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, CSA. Preventing facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. Two, offering hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you. And we were just going to visit this evening, and so I look forward to that because I've never really done that with you.
Oh.
So, we were talking about family is what you were talking about right before we came on. And so you went and or you had family come and visit you. How was all that?
I did. I have two sons. One of them lives with me, but the other one lives back east, and he came for a week with my granddaughter and spent a week with me, and I had so much fun. She's 15. And she's just a charming young lady, and it was just such a joy to be with her. And it's such a sharp contrast with my family of origin, which was hateful and screaming all the time. We're not like that, thank goodness.
Yeah. Well, you changed the narrative, didn't you?
It did, absolutely. I think that someone else on the line, I'll go check and see.
Yeah, I think it's Darlene. So you want to bring her on? So it looks like, like Ann was saying, we've got people who decided to change it, and I was one of those people, and Annie was one of those people as well. And it looks like Darlene is now on the line. So welcome, Darlene. We're glad you're here.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
How are you this evening?
Well, I can't say anything good right now, so I'm not going to say nothing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well,
I had a friend that passed away. I had a stroke, and then I had a friend that passed away, so I'm like,
I'm sorry to hear that, darling.
I'm so sorry. Yeah,
it's all right. I'm still alive. I'm alive.
Oh, well, that's good. We're glad. But I heard that you were having some health problems, but I didn't know exactly what all came of that. It sounded like you were having that. So was it a mild stroke? Were you able to get to you in time?
Well, I let it go for a couple of days. I had let it go a couple of days and everything, and then the night before, my shoulder would not stop hurting. I couldn't move my arm in any direction, whatever. It just was in so much pain. And so I went to the hospital, and the doctor confirmed I had a stroke.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, but my blood pressure isn't high. So y'all, everybody, you know, don't have the same symptoms when they have a stroke.
I never heard of that. That
I've heard that.
Painful. Have you heard that? I didn't know that.
Felt like dead weight, no matter which way I put my arm. It's a lot of pain.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, I'm glad that you're doing better. How does it feel now? Is it coming back?
I slept
at
on
all?
It wrong. Well, see, I got feeling on it. I've been having feeling. That's why I said it was so painful, you know. And then it went numb later on after that. But now it's back to the pain again, and I'm like, you know, so I guess it just shows me I'm still alive, y'all, you know. If I didn't have pain, I would be dead, you know.
Exactly. I mean, but they did confirm it was a stroke because I had the same thing happen to me when my vertebrae started collapsing. My C3 through 7, they had to fuse. And that's what happened to my whole, both of my arms just went dead completely. I was dropping everything. I couldn't do anything. It was really scary, but it wasn't a stroke, luckily. I mean.
Yeah. I could move my arm and stuff. It was just so much pain, and I could not get it situated in any which way. And my face was numb and swollen on the left side. My eye and everything was blurry, tremendous amount of blur. You would not believe it. I thought I was going blind.
Both of those are not good. Have you ever been on medication for that before?
Yes, I've been on medications, but there was some. They had me on so many medications that it started conflicting, and every time I took medicines, I was vomiting. So I was without medicines for over a month. And I've been asking them to help me and went to the ER with all that problem, and they didn't do nothing about it, you know, over a month ago. And so it's like, well, I went for help, you know. when it was, you know, I didn't want to just quit taking my medicine, you know. So it led to this, you know. So
yeah, that could No, I'm so sorry.
That's all right. I'm still alive, so I could still kick people in the butt if they get in my way, if they give me trouble, you know.
Yeah.
I had an ex-boyfriend that showed up the other day. Yeah. I don't want to throw these flowers away. An ex-boyfriend surprised me the other day and brought me some flowers, and he proposed to me, but of course I said no.
Well, congratulations.
I said no. Well, at least I got some beautiful flowers out of it, the deal, right?
Yeah. He was scared because you were sick?
No, he told me he's one of them. He's an alcoholic, and he was, and when he came to see me, he was drinking beer and whiskey straight up like that, and he was demeaning me and everything and calling me dumb and all this kind of stuff. I'm not going to marry somebody that treats me that way. Get real, you know.
Yeah.
But I did not kick him out.
Sounds like
time
a
because he was, oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a keeper. Not. But whenever I did, there's only one reason why I didn't kick him out when he started fussing at me. Because I would have been liable for anybody he would have killed on the road driving, drinking and driving, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
And he wasn't hitting or nothing like that. If he started hitting me, I would have called the police on that right away, too.
Well, good. I'm glad he was useless.
Yes.
Well, we were just talking about, Annie was telling us about his son and granddaughter coming to visit and how that's so different of a contrast of how she grew up, and I feel the same way, that, you know, my kids were raised differently, and so are my grandkids, and that, you know, we do have a different dynamic. Yeah.
Now my son,
so did you
want to
say
it's a little bit different. Like with my son, it was a little, my boys, it was a little bit different because my ex-husband was abusive to me. And they witnessed that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And they started carrying around a knife thinking that they were going to have to protect mommy.
Oh, that's sad.
But the police said, yeah. Well, you do what you call the police, and the police say, well, you know, he can hit you all he likes as long as he don't kill you.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
That's a winner,
yeah,
too.
And to
you? Yes, he did. And right now he's supposed to be in jail, the sheriff himself, but he keeps he's got an appeal going about his case on something else. He stole money from the prisoners and used it to go gamble, and then he put the money back. But he put the money back, but still that ain't right for him to steal the prisoner's money, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Did he give him all of a cut of his winnings?
I don't think he won anything.
Then maybe
if
that
he did win. Yeah, but what would they have done in the meantime until he come up with the money? Because when the sheriff was actually giving, whenever he gave somebody a check to pay him back, he said, hold it for a couple of weeks. So the prisoners were without any kind of money to help tie it over that they're supposed to bend in the thing to take care of them, like their cigarettes or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It don't matter. And he goes,
no,
well, I put the money back. Awful. It shouldn't be no biggie. It's like, excuse me, it should, too. You shouldn't have done, not for your hands to touch, you know?
Right. You didn't have access. You were going to
Right.
Heard about
and
it.
Now my, Now, I could see that my son, he's got, since he had lived and lived with me, and then with my ex-husband being abusive, then all of a sudden a lot of the memories that I had blocked started coming into fruition. So it wasn't really good, the boys to see me the way they were seeing me either, you know, remembering the flash, all them flashbacks and stuff. And my ex-husband used to say, well, our son's got depression, all because his mama's stupid and crazy and got it, you know? And now when I go back and think about it, I'm thinking, well, you know what? If you wouldn't have belittled me and beat me in front of the son, you know, where they had to get dinner at their grandmother's house because you forbid to feed us at the house, maybe it would have been all right, you know?
No.
And he said, Mama, he says, even though the cops told you, you know, you can't take us with you if you do run away from your husband, even if you don't take him, we'll arrest you for kidnapping. So it was kind of
mental.
Do it.
He kind of had like a mental, he was scaring you. I mean, you didn't think
him to show
his kids, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, I had to call him and told him about him. They already came to several times, you know, about him beating me, right? But then now he changed it and said he had a plan to kill me, so I called him back and let him know. Well, he said that he was going to kill me, yada, yada, yada. Well, they came back a couple of days later and said, you better not even try to leave with your kids or nothing like that. We'll arrest you for kidnapping. Knowing that he threatened my life.
Do you think they were bribed?
I think that because my ex-husband was from that vicinity, he grew up in that vicinity, his family's been through that, and the county commissioner was even related to my ex-husband.
Wow.
So
justice
with the county commissioner being related. Yes. I know if my kids would have done something and they went to jail, I did call the police on my oldest one a couple of times, but he did end up changing. But when he saw his daddy beat me, he thought that's what he's supposed to do. And then I called the police a couple of times and said, you know, I can't have him beating me. What, you know, can you come talk? Can you talk to him or whatever? And he actually talked to him. He was good at that particular time, but it kind of upset me what the police had told him, said that that he better go ahead and take it, and I better get a belt, and I better whip his butt with a belt real hard.
Jeez.
And he better take it.
Jeez.
And I was like,
you brought up a good point, Darlene, is that, you know, a lot of times our kids see, I mean, they do see, they all see what's going on, and then they will act, you know, badly later on, either later on in life or to their partner, you know, like later on once they get married or whatever, but I think it always comes back around to the moms. And, I mean, I've never been physically abused by my ex-husband, and we're not really ex yet, but we're separated right now. So it's weird. It's just weird right now. but he was always very emotionally abusive and controlling, very financially controlling and abusive, and they see that. And my oldest daughter specifically has a really hard time being nice to me, and I don't understand it. I still don't understand it, but I guess that in her mind she's got to pick a side or something, and so However, she'll call me to babysit anytime she needs it. So,
right.
I mean, that's, you know, a lot of times our kids will act out, and I see that in my older daughter. So she tries to manipulate me and use me as much as she can. And that's what I felt like
yes.
my husband is, you know, all the time. So,
and
so
say,
that's
what
sad. How about...
Yes, one thing, when you go and try to do something like that and your kids are witnessing all that, and they witnessed it basically all their life, and they witnessed even a neighbor, I found this out after, you know, right at the courtroom after the divorce thing, the police tried to give me a lot of the police reports and said, sorry, we failed you. And I said, what? He said, even a neighbor had called and said five adults were beating you up, and we didn't come and help you. We just let it happen. And that was my ex-husband and his siblings.
Something.
Yeah, that was his siblings and stuff that was in on that. So my kids have witnessed all that. So my kids had a lot of hostility hidden. But they didn't know how to vent out, and they knew they couldn't vent out at their daddy. So I think they knew the safe place to do it was towards me. But I told them, and I started teaching them ways that, you know, we could do it, you know what I'm saying? But they have never been abusive toward their partner, and which is a good thing. But on the contrary, their partners have been abusive to them.
Yeah.
And now both of them's divorced, and one of them's married to, one of them remarried and married a really nice lady, and she would never hurt him or anything. And my youngest son's getting married, I think, in November, and this is going to be a better woman, too.
Oh.
At least I hope and pray.
Okay. Yeah. What about you, Andy? Do you see that with your kids at all? Was there anything that maybe has rubbed off on them of yours?
Oh, I think so. I think so for sure. Because in my first marriage, my kids got to see me being only bullied. I was never hit, but I was emotionally abused and bullied by their father, and I divorced him, yay, but the younger child still grew up going from him to me and him to me, and I think that was really damaging to him because his dad told him I was awful, and so he thought I was awful, but I'm not.
Yeah,
exactly. And then when they're adults, when they're young adults and they start getting out on their own, and the price of all these things today is outrageous, you know, the house payments, the gasoline and groceries and all this stuff, it's pain in the neck, you know, pain in the butt too. And their daddy does help them when they do need it. And at times, I think that's why they don't talk to me as much, because, you know, their daddy helping them so much, you know.
That could be.
Yeah, he can.
But I know my oldest son is in the military, and he could be doing his classes because he decided to start doing his bachelor's degree.
Wow.
Yeah, great. Awesome.
And my youngest has got his bachelor's degree, too. So they're both, you know, doing really good with their lives, and I'm very proud of them.
I'm proud of you.
So, Annie, you both have sons?
Thank you.
You both have two sons. Huh?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Only one grandchild.
I got three.
Oh.
I had three kids and three grandkids.
Wow. One from each, or did it work out that way?
No, one of if you read my book, my stories in there about the child, about me being held down and raped as a teenager, and then what they did with the baby and stuff like that. It's in my book. But he's not alive today.
Oh. I'm sorry. Would you like to talk about your book and tell the name?
It's you can look at Amazon under Darlene J. Clark, and then type in Shattered Innocence. And I do not tell my story of one that I want sympathy or even empathy. I tell one, like when I moved to this county and I found a therapist around here, and he said there were five other women in the whole amount of time that he's been a therapist here. Put in mind, he's been a therapist over 10, 15 years. But I'm the sixth one in this county alone that had the same exact stories and involving a baby and all as well.
Oh, oh my goodness.
And he said that they cannot share their stories. And then by, you know, they're too scared, you know. And he said by doing my story, I'll be telling their story too, because our stories are so similar, it's scary.
It's scary. And how old were you when that happened?
I was 15 or 16. It was my evil stepmom held me down when her son raped me. Yeah, but evil stepmom held me down while her son raped me. So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. No, I'm sorry. Yeah,
it's okay, you know, it, no matter what, they kept trying to not God out of my life, but they couldn't get God out of my life, so I was still more stronger than them, and they wanted me to turn towards Satan, and I refused.
Yeah, that's a scary thing, and I think, you know, years ago, it seemed to be really, really popular for a while. I remember it, too, when I was younger. And I don't know if it was maybe, you know, it could have been also the crowd that my parents hung out with, you know, and things like that, too,
right,
that make me remember it. But there were some weird things that went on, and it just seemed like there was a lot more of that. But there, I mean, my dad was on heroin until I was 12 years old. And so, you know, absolutely there had to have been weird things going on. Probably so many more things that I didn't need, but, you know, everything that I saw was traumatizing enough.
Yeah,
so like,
and we didn't.
Oh, yeah, we have a
problem. He had the wrong kind of heroin in the family, huh? We need a heroine, you know, a hero, you know.
Yeah.
I try to look at the humor a little bit, look at it a weird way. I'm sorry.
I like that.
Thank you.
I have a problem with my children right now, just understanding that I'm speaking out so much and that I'm making decisions that are not what they thought would be either, you know, and like I said, I really struggle with my oldest. She gives me a really hard time at times, so it's rough. It's hard when they're even adults. You think they're going to get adults, they'll be adults, and then we can be friends and, you know, live happily ever after. But it is hard to have children around.
Yeah, it is. It's very difficult.
And how
I used to
setting?
Do what?
How old are your children?
Oh, I'll be 60 in October, so my youngest one will be 42 in December, and my oldest will be 42 in December, and my youngest will be
39. Okay. Yeah, my oldest will be 35 in a month, and then I have a 27-year-old and a 3-year-olds. Mine were kind of spaced apart. But it's funny, and I've said this before, my youngest son, well, I have two daughters and a son, and my youngest, who is my son, is probably the one that understands me the most for some reason. I think, I mean, he really struggled with his dad and my ex-husband's family throughout his childhood. They were very mean. I mean, they would put him down. They would, you know, call him fat and just laugh about it and think it was funny. And so he's really struggled. And so he understood me, even though I didn't start talking about this and tell my kids what had happened to me in my childhood until 6 years ago. And so they were all basically adults. But my youngest one is the one that's always wanted to know the most. And now I'm living with my middle child, my daughter. So it's funny how things kind of play out, because I never thought my middle child is the one that I had a hard time getting along with when she was growing up. She wouldn't open up ever. And the only time that she would tell us what was going on a little bit was at the dinner table. And so I was very adamant about having dinners together every night. And, you know, and I just wanted that whole childhood for my kids. That's what I wanted.
What dangerous game I used to play, y'all, because when I was living at my mom's, when I was 11 years old, when her and my stepdad won custody of us, the second custody battle, and she told me that I needed to work and get a job, and therefore a little while I worked and I planted tobacco. And I did not know that I was allergic to tobacco, though, so I come down with pneumonia. So after I got healed from pneumonia, you know, which I had to be in bed a week, you know, to get better, you know, and then I go back to work, and they told me I was fired because I didn't call in. I said, well, we didn't even have a phone. You know, there wasn't no way I could have called. I said, well, my twin sister's quitting. Please let me work. My mom ended up getting mad at me because I, you know, lost my job. She said, I've got to get out there. If I want food to eat, I better get out there and work, and I better prostitute myself. That she taught me how to prostitute when I was younger, she said, and I needed a prostitute. But I refused to do it. Instead, I walked the streets hiding from her. To stay busy, I did stop at some gas stations, see if, you know, they would let me do some little bitty things around, you know, for jobs. And they said, sorry, they could be sued with having somebody 11 years old working there. So, anyway, when they were at home, that's when I was
sleeping. Your mom would think that was.
Yeah, that's the kind of person she was, yes.
Yeah.
And then, matter of fact, in 2002, I believe it was, it's either 2001, 2002, to 2005. I think it's 2005, sorry. I gave her a call, and I said I was going to let amends be amends, you know, and try to work for a daughter-mother relationship, okay? I said, hey, Mom, how you doing? She goes, are you showing your naked body to men or prostituting yourself? I said, no, Mom, I'm an adult. I have a choice now. She said, you were born to prostitute yourself and show your naked body. I said, Mom, I'm an adult now. I have a choice. She said, I wish I would have killed you when you were a baby like I wanted to. And I hung up and never spoke to her again.
I can't imagine.
It's like no matter where I went for safety, there was no safety.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like it. It sounds, it's amazing that you grew up to be an adult. And
I can only attribute that to God bringing me through it, because there's no other way, you know. Through all the times that I was shot at, electrocuted, all this kind of stuff, you know, child pornography, child prostitution, all that stuff, child trafficked. Oh, man. I'm still around today. I used to laugh at that commercial. Yeah. But please, no more hits to the head. You know, this body can't keep taking a hit to the head and keep on ticking like it used to. You know?
Yeah. Wearing out, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. They said that's the cause to my stroke. It's because of the head injuries, you know, from being daddy getting something and knocking me unconscious, you know.
Yeah. Well, so I think we've talked about on here before, too, that how that affects you. I mean, I feel the same way. My dad threw me through a wall at one point, and I think that contributed to my spine problems. I really do.
Oh, wow.
Probably did. And it really shows up later in life, your old injuries, and you thought, well, I did good. I healed all up. Then all of a sudden, you're older, and then old injuries all of a sudden showing up, and I'm like, dang, I thought I was healed from that. Now, evidently, I wasn't, because now it's filling me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what happened to mine, was that I'd had a cervical spinal fusion 20 years before, but since I'd had that fusion on 4-5, it started to break everything down underneath. And so they had to go above and underneath. And it's still, they said, I will have to have the rest of it fused eventually. But, I mean, how could you have even known that anything like that would do that? I mean, I think if people would read and understand where, you know, all of us are coming from, instead of just thinking that we're like out to get drugs or something, because I played that game for a while, Darlene, and I know that's probably what some of you have to deal with too, is, oh, she just wants drugs.
Exactly.
No, I don't. I really don't. I want to be fixed. I don't want the drugs.
They had trouble getting me to take my drugs. I'm like, oh, heck no, you know.
Yeah.
He says, if you're hurt bad enough, you'll take it. I said, I don't think so.
Because you'll like
what it is, when they get me on so many medications, they start, I am allergic to a lot of different things. I attribute that, believe it or not, you won't believe what I attribute it to you, and I want to see what y'all's take on this is, okay? My dad worked for Dow Chemical, okay? So he was coming home a lot of times with them chemicals on his clothes and stuff, okay? So I attribute a lot of my allergies to being around all those chemicals.
Maybe. Yeah, could be.
Yeah, when you got, I used to give him a hug, and he had them chemicals on his clothes, and usually you should wash those chemicals off even before getting in your vehicle and coming home.
Yeah.
And sometimes,
we haven't heard a whole lot from you. What do you? I was going to see if Annie had any questions or any responses.
To Annie?
Yeah, Annie. Hi.
Oh, hi. Well, just going back to my family, I was telling you that, you know, that my children and my granddaughter, we all get along so well. But, you know, it wasn't always that way because when, you know, when I was young and their father lived with us, times were hard. And there was arguing and stuff, mostly like verbal abuse. But my son seemed to get over that. You know, it's like he didn't carry that with him, and there's nothing like that in his family. They don't ever raise their voices or anything. And I'm just so glad it seems like that they escaped the cycle. I really believe that.
Yeah.
It can happen.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, I mean, that's what we'd all want, right, is to change the trajectory of how our kids are being raised and how they think. I mean, we don't.
Yeah.
I know that, you know, my parents were so much different than I was. I have a hard time understanding why my oldest daughter has such a hard time with me. Because I mean, and I don't know if I'm just being judgy in that aspect, but I really don't. It hurts me that she gets, you know, so irritated with me. She told me recently because I had asked her to let me know what was going on with my granddaughter because I'm farther away from her now. I used to just be, like, right down the street from them, and now I live an hour and a half away from them. And I like to go to the kids' stuff, you know, my grandchildren's stuff and everything, but I'm further away, and my daughter had already called me, like, the day of and said, do you want to come? And I'm like, I'm further away now. I'm not just going to drop everything to come for 15 minutes to watch, you know, something little, but if you give me time, then I could come down there a day before, or because of my back issues, I don't like to drive. So I don't like to make that trip down and back all in one day, if I can help it. Because it's just a lot. But yeah, she told me, well, I'll just let you know when I'll let you know. And then I was having a conversation with her, and she goes, she just quit talking to me. Like, we were texting back and forth, and then she just quit. And the next day I said, you know, I, like, asked her the question again that we were talking about, and I said, it would help if you didn't just stop talking to me. She's like, well, sometimes I just don't have the brain whip or something for you. And I thought, oh, I didn't know I was that hard to get along with. But I just, yeah, I don't know where that comes from. But it's hard. It makes me sad that we can't get along better. But I think a lot of that does have to do with her dad. And like you were saying, Annie, just them seeing that, you know, at some point. Luckily, you know, Annie was saying, you don't think that people have that, and that's great. I think that that's what we want, for sure. You must have done a great job raising them. They must be good kids. And we probably did it all by ourselves, right? All of us. All of us probably pretty much raised our kids by ourselves.
But I didn't get to. Because I didn't get to take my kids with me, you know. But I did raise them mostly up until I had to leave, you know what I mean? Because he wasn't coming home until they were asleep, but you know, so.
Oh, okay. How old were they when you left?
My oldest, about the 10th or 11th grade, and my youngest about 7th. Oh, wow. And my youngest was like, Mom, I wanted to go with you. I said, I know, son. I'm sorry. I ran so far away, too. I went all the way to New York State from Alabama.
Oh, wow.
That's a pretty good way. I wanted to go so far. I wanted to go so far away that they wouldn't try to say, oh, depression, and try to put me in an asylum or something, you know, for the rest of my life or something, you know.
Yeah.
I want to get far away from the crooked people around.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I had the opportunity to know a little bit more about upstate New York. I had never known it. I had always heard a southerner does not want to go there, that they would treat them horribly. And it was to the contrary. I had, you would not believe everybody that would stop and ask me if I needed help because they see me, you know, a little bit wobbling to the right and left because of the injuries, you know, that I was like, what am I going to do next, you know?
Oh, well, that's good.
So that give me
is
a different viewpoint
now?
On. I'm in Tennessee now.
In Tennessee, okay.
Yeah. I had to get closer back home to my kids,
you
know. Alabama.
Well, yeah. Oh, you're from Alabama? Okay.
From Alabama, Florida, and Georgia, all three area.
Okay. And how about you, Annie? Where were you?
Well, I've just been in Florida for a few months with my brother, who's ill. But I live in California most of the time, near Los Angeles.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
You live in Los Angeles?
I just heard about
Well,
yeah.
I live in Long Beach, which is just south of Los Angeles.
Right.
Yeah, good weather here.
Is it? It's pretty nice all the time.
It really is. Almost every day is just lovely. I feel really lucky to live in this weather. And we have the beach close by, too.
Nice. Yeah, I was going to say, you must be a beach person.
I do like to go to the beach. I don't really swim in it. I mostly walk. I used to swim in it, but it's kind of not very clean, you know? Because of Los Angeles, the city, the beach was kind of dirty.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's too bad. Now, is your brother battling an illness? Is that?
Yes, he's diabetic, and then he had heart attack. And then when I went to see him, he fell and broke his hip. And then when he was in rehab for the hip, he got COVID. And that didn't kill him. And he's doing well. He just survived everything. He's living alone again. And I thought for sure he wouldn't be able to live alone again, but he is. So, yeah, he's tough.
Good. My goodness. Yeah. Sounds like it. I'm glad they were able to get to the heart attack in time. And
yeah, I know. I'm really glad. I was glad I was there when his hip broke because he may have lain there for days. Who knows?
Yeah, a lot of times when people fall like that and they can't get back up, especially then they end up passing away because the kind of stuff just settles there, you know, and that's how some friends that I know, their mothers have passed away. They had fallen and they couldn't get back up, and they, you know, so.
Yeah.
That's sad.
End of life is hard.
I know y'all want to laugh or not. There's one reason why I don't go to the beach because of what happened back when I was about 13, 14 year old at the beach. Well, 14, 15, sorry, because I went back to my dad and birth mom. I mean, my dad and my stepmom by then. I went to Daytona Beach and I stepped on a crab bed, y'all. Then
ooh.
Little boogers started pinching my toes.
Oh, no.
Oh, and I started running, and there was hundreds and hundreds of them when I looked down. I started running towards my stepmom. Don't bring them over here. Every time I turned around, sorry, I went down. I wanted to jump on top of the car, okay, and get away from them, okay? Which would probably have been too hot to get up on a car. I would have really burnt myself bad, you know, because the hot sun and all, but and anyway, I saw somebody with a video camera start and record me, and every time, and I was like, well, why are they recording me dead, you know? And years later I did see it on American Funniest Videos. They didn't know who the girl was, and they said they found this, then they said it's so funny watching all these crabs chasing that girl, and the minute she stopped and turned around, they had stopped too, but then they started chasing her again. It was hundreds of them, man. I tell you, I did not ever want to go back to the beach again after that. Okay. Somebody said you had a case of the crabs. I said, yeah, that kind of crab. And I said they were crabby too, man.
Oh, that's great. Too bad.
So we can laugh
I've
at some of the things that happen.
I've never lived around a beach. Yeah. I've never really lived around a beach too much. I've only visited a couple times. And so I guess I'm more of a mountain girl since I'm from Colorado.
That's cool.
I do think it's very pretty, and I think
my older son's in Colorado.
Go ahead.
How is he? Okay. What part?
Yes. He's down below. He's now in the Space Force, so he's not in the Air Force anymore. So he's in Space Force, so he's wherever that base is, not too far from.
Yeah. In the spring?
Yeah. I can't really give out locations. I can't really give out locations for his own safety or privacy and stuff, so I can't really, you know.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. But, no, they've got – so I am probably, like, from the springs right now where the base is out here. And he might not be at the base. You know, he may be somewhere else. I don't know. But
he's not at the
but
base.
There are times not – while I've been out here in the rural area and down in the city as well, because I lived in Littleton, and so we would get fighter planes that go by, and they are low. They are flying really low, and they are really loud. And it scares you at first because you just don't expect that. And even though I've heard it for a few years, you know, it's like I still never expect it when they're that low. It's kind of scary. They are, pretty well trained. I have a niece who is in the Air Force, too, and she's pretty high up. She would love to be closer. She'd love to be out here in Colorado or somewhere closer by, but
Well, yes.
So,
and I make fun of
go ahead.
There's how would you like to deal with a name like, I have a friend that his name is Jimmy Carter.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of people saying that would tell me, said, you're getting a ride from the ex-president? I said, man, it might be awesome, man, if I did get to ride in a limo. I said, but Jimmy said he used to work for Peanuts, but now all he gets is a shell. So we can laugh at what life gives us. One time I was at a cafeteria, right? And this is how funny life is, all right? I was there with another friend, and see, I got several friends named Jimmy, so I call him my Jimmy Carter friend. And then I got another friend I call my Duck Dynasty friend because he had a long beard like the Duck Dynasty guys, right? So anyway, me and this Duck Dynasty Jimmy was over at the restaurant, was talking about my friend Jimmy Carter. And then all of a sudden this guy turned around and you think that's funny? He said, because I'm Ronald Reagan. I said, no way. And he got his license, Ronald Reagan. I know at times we need to look at we do look at some delicate stuff with the abuse and stuff, but sometimes you take a light look at life and you see there's a lot of humor that a lot of people don't look at and say life is really funny at times.
It's true.
Yeah, it is true. And it is.
Have you ever heard
laughs and cries?
Have you ever heard anybody say, why do you laugh? Because all that stuff that happened to you, how could you ever laugh again? It's like, excuse me, this is my only life I got to live, right? I got a right to be happy if I want to. I got a right to fall in love if I want to. I got a right to go across the street or start jump roping or whatever, you know, if I could do that, if I could, you know, I would, you know. I want to turn somersaults and everything if it didn't hurt me too bad.
Yeah. Right. You could be one of those sign holders out there doing somersaults.
You know, we don't just think about the negative things that happen in our life. Our thing is how we could go and get beyond that as well, and how we could look at the positive, overcoming what the hurdles that we had been through.
So what do you do, Darlene, to take care of yourself? What do you do for self-care?
Well, I've just got through making a wreath for a friend. I enjoy working with crafts. I'm working on my next book. And I think that I keep talking about working on my next book, but I guess I do need to heal a little bit before I do, you know. And I can use more insight into more people, you know, on that book, you know, because could I tell y'all what it's about?
Yeah.
You know how so many people are so, they'll say, well, I'm against God because God, I'm speaking from my viewpoint. I'm not speaking for NASCAR's viewpoint, you know. I'm speaking from my personal, okay, just letting that be clear to any of the listeners. How many some people say, you know how the church has wronged us and this person says, you're sinning at this, you're sinning at that. I want to take a big biblical stance and point out how parents are to rear children, how it specifically says in the Bible, and take away a lot of that garbage that's being taught to people on how you're supposed to do them instead of training in the way that's meant to be.
That's good. So would it be like an online class or an in-person class? Or?
It's gonna be another book where I probably put it through Amazon or something.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. That's exciting. Do you have a date that you want to be done?
Well, if I would stop having these injuries, it would probably help me to get it done a lot sooner. Oh, and by the way, I want to let the listeners and everybody know that on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, NASCA has a Blog Talk Radio support group. A Zoom support group, okay? And it's not recorded. Like on here, the radio is recorded, but the Zoom, it's one, you know, it's not recorded. You can go in there, and what you say in there is supposed to stay there. Let it stay there. You don't go and gossip about others in the group or anything. It's where your safety and if you don't trust right away, we do not make people talk if they don't want to talk. You don't have to use your camera if you don't want to, you know. Matter of fact, Darlene Clark's my author's name. It's not my real name, you know, for my own privacy reasons, like y'all could guess why with the stuff I told you that's happened in my life, you know. So you can use a different name. You ain't got to use your birth name.
Yeah.
Just be real. Don't come in there with some try to cause stir. And if you try to start telling somebody what to do, you might. The thing is, if you start telling somebody what to do, that's not helping them heal. Sometimes we just want somebody's vantage point on that they heard, that they were heard, and that they were there for them if you want to continue to talk for time or that kind of thing. But NASCA, at NASCA.org, it does have a lot of resources, free resources for people to look up. And it will surprise you once you start looking at the website. It's got a wealth of knowledge here.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff on there. So tell
me, I'm starting to sound like a salesperson.
Yeah, tell me what. That'll be the 9th time that you do that again. Or, yeah, the 9th that you have that sticker.
Do what?
The night that you have that group, tell me about the call-in.
Oh, it's not. Well, if you could go to NASCA.org, the website, it's got the day, the Zoom ID thing that all you would need to put in there for the Zoom call. And it's at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central. And you could take the math from that and figure your time zones from there.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's three different facilitators usually, and I'm usually the Thursday facilitator, but I'll probably be in there helping the facilitator for tomorrow since she's having computer issues.
Yeah. They're supposed to help us, not the pain.
Exactly.
So it looks like we have regular girl on here. Did she want to come on, Annie?
I'm sorry?
Did regular girl want to come on, or she was just listening? You did put that in. Okay.
No.
Never mind.
Regular girl's just listening, yeah.
He just wants to
say
tonight. Okay, that's fine.
I would say hello, regular girl.
Yeah, I know she's one of our regular. I don't know if that's what she uses just that for or not, but yeah, she's
that's
our
okay.
regulars on NASCA. So.
That's good. Well, I'm glad she's here, as well as you all.
Oh, funny.
But welcome.
Yeah. So what else? Annie, what do you do to take care of yourself?
To take care of myself, I do a lot of gardening. Not heavy gardening, but like pruning, little pulling weeds, that kind of thing. And I write, but it's kind of weird because I write for a living, but then I also write to take care of myself. So it's sort of doing the same thing twice. And I like to go in the sauna and just meditate in the sauna. And I like to go out and hear music.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about music there,
I love going to Star Maker. That's a karaoke thing. And I mm-hmm. love going on there and singing.
Good.
You're a singer, huh? I have a friend that's really into that, too. Really likes karaoke.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well, what's your
awesome.
Reason is to get out there and have fun.
And if you can't get out there, you know, it's kind of cool to be able to meet so many people off the internet type of thing you could join them in a duet. Like they went ahead and they left the song open and they sung part of the song, and then you go do your recording and join them in that song. So it's pretty cool when you go to do that. Yes, it's interesting and neat.
Yeah,
I've been doing it for years.
I like to have acupuncture. Have you guys ever tried acupuncture?
Yeah.
No.
I'm thinking a needle pain. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking no.
No, not at all.
No, it's not painful.
You know what? I think the worst. No, it's not at all. The worst pain is if you have like a super, super tight muscle, and then like it'll start spasming onto you or something. Then that's painful a little bit, but it's not like it's excruciating. You know, not like something you can't handle. But their needles are so microscopic. But I do feel the best, I think, when I do that. I think even more so than just doing like a massage. I like a massage, but it just doesn't last very long. You know, it feels good, and then I have to drive home, and then I'm not feeling as good. But, and I like to do crafts and stuff, too, craft person. I make clacks.
Wow.
I like to read, too.
For the wedding.
Another thing I like to do is read.
What's some of your favorite? You got any certain type of literature you like reading more than any?
I mostly read science and nonfiction. I think because I write fiction, I feel like I'll be influenced if I read it. So I stay away from reading other people's fiction and just read nonfiction stuff.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
I really like animals, to read about animals and their behaviors.
Oh, okay. Fun. So what do you do for a living, Annie? What do you write?
I'm a ghostwriter. I write books for people who want their books written, whatever kind of books they need. Right now I'm writing two memoirs.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I always learn a lot.
Yeah. And is this your own business that you started?
Yes, it is. I used to be a teacher, but I retired from teaching, and I've been doing this for about, 12 years, I guess. Long time.
What
What did you teach when you were teaching?
I taught adult education. So it was mostly young people who had dropped out of high school because they were sent to jail, mostly for drugs or gangs. And so they would come back out and they'd be too old for high school. So the program was to help them get a diploma. And it was very rewarding. I did it for
awesome.
Years.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's great. I love that.
Yeah.
I've never had a job that hasn't been real meaningful. And they don't always pay really good. But at least I know that
right.
I'm doing something to help others and that, you know, I'm not just in there to get a paycheck and make money. That's, you know, there's more to life.
And, you know,
that.
when I left that job, I decided that I had done enough for others. And now it was time to do something for me. And so
that's
I've been helping
incredible.
Myself since then.
That's awesome.
Yes,
it really is nice to work for yourself. That's the best job I've ever had is working for myself. Are you doing outside of the house, really? You write? You write?
Oh, I don't. I'm disabled, you know, from the stuff that's happened, but I write, and I get a lot of calls to support people and such and such, and I had written something I got a radio show that I do on Wednesday nights as well, a different blog talk channel, so I don't want to talk that much about that, but I do want to say, I want to try to bring up something that I had written a while back, if I could find it right quick. And I think it's kind of important for us to think about. But y'all go ahead while I'm looking up that, if y'all don't mind.
Yeah. Are you there, Annie?
I'm here.
What about viewers? Do you have anything else to say about any of the subjects you're talking about? Do you have anything to say about anything that we're talking about?
One thing that I do to help myself
okay.
is I have a new puppy.
Yeah.
And
oh,
my
wow.
new puppy gives me unconditional love. I get so much love.
Yeah.
And I give so much love,
aww.
Too. It's just a loving relationship to have a puppy.
Oh,
how sweet. What kind of puppy?
It's a Chihuahua, yeah. So it's a little tiny thing.
Okay.
So and I brought her home from Florida, so she's a Floridian.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
It was my brother's dog.
Oh. What kind
of his dog had puppies, and so I just brought home one of the puppies because there were two of them. It's a Chihuahua.
Oh, wow.
And her name is Bella.
Oh.
Bella.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a pretty name.
I found that item, if y'all would like me to read it real quick. And
yes.
I'm thinking about copying this and making printouts and then handing it to different police officers in the city and everything, okay? Here's what I wrote. Abuse affects our lives in so many ways. What do we do when we're too scared to tell? When we have trusted someone and they did not help? Instead, someone asked, what did you do to get punished this way? Abuse is abuse. Abuse is not punishment. Abuse is torture, crippling, debilitating. What advice would you give to others to help them through the horrendous memories?
Are you there for the person, or are you part of the knife and your friend or relative's back, since you may have turned a blind eye to it? Are you claiming to advocate against abuse but condemn the people who tell and share their stories? Do you want to be a part of the solution or part of the problem? Let's stand united and discuss ways in which we may help others. What ways have helped you in your healing journey? Are you in a constant battle fighting the negative forces within? Come and let's encourage each other tonight. Are you an officer in the judicial system not doing your job to help the victim? That means you're not doing your duty. Your duty is to serve and protect. How do we open the public's eyes so that they can acknowledge and feel the need to help protect the children? The children are our future.
Yay.
And some people told me that needs out there more, and so I said, well, I guess I can make a copy of it and try to get printouts and try to hand it out to police officers and stuff, say, are you part of the problem, or are you going to be the solution, you know?
Yeah, that's so good.
Thank you.
So, let's see, just about 13 minutes left on the show.
Have y'all read across people, too, that, you know, there's been so many? Have y'all, I want to ask y'all something. Have y'all run across people that's actually told you, what did you do to this person to get them so mad at you that they did this to you? Instead of blaming the person that did that to you, there's like, what did you do so wrong, you know?
Mm-hmm. I did get framed, but not.
Go ahead.
Well, they didn't say, oh, it's your fault. It was more like the constant putting me down, like that made me bad, so I must have deserved it. You know, they made me feel like I was a bad person by putting me down all the time. So then when I was sexually abused, I felt like I deserved it because I was bad.
And which you did not deserve it.
No.
No, you did not deserve it.
That's one way that they condition us, though, you know? That's one way they condition us, to fear them so that we don't tell. So we don't go get help.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And they built friends.
Well, if anybody out there is
people...
getting... I was just going to say, if anybody out there listening is being hurt, please get help. Please ask for help. Call us. We'll help you.
Yes, NASCA has a... a list of people who you can call, and you can call, find somebody on the list and give them a call. We'll be glad to talk with you. And plus, if you are a witness towards a child being hurt, if you're not absolutely sure but you still speculate, you need to still tell, because you might be the child's last hope. You could call 1-800-4-A-CHILD. And they are there 24/7.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
That's a great number. We should give that number out more often.
Yeah.
It's 1-800 and the number 4. Yeah, the number 4, a child. They got this new helpline number, too, for people that are suicidal, too, and I can't remember what those digits are at the moment.
Oh, yeah, there's a new one. I'll look it up. Hold on.
I think, yeah, I was going to say, I can look it up.
Because I think that's important to get the word out every time when we're doing something.
988.
988, y'all. Anybody feel suicidal, or they feel out of hope, or they just need somebody to listen to them because they don't feel like they're listened to, by all means, there are people out here who care.
Yeah. and you know, if you're listening and you feel alone, I mean, we are here too, just to talk, because we've all been there. We all know what it feels like to just need somebody to talk to. So again, you can go on to thenaska.org to find the phone numbers of all of us. I think are on there for the most part because we're ambassadors, so all of our names should be on there and our phone numbers. So if you feel like you need help, please call.
And we see I just went there and it says NASCA. Yes. I went there and it says NASCA Ambassadors. I clicked that. And then it's got a map.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you're going to get strictly to. Yeah, I see a map there,
you
but
click on the
we
map.
Need to look for the. How can we go, like, to get to the contact, join us, get involved? Okay, here we go. When we put contact, when you get to NASCA.org and you see the word contact, join us, get involved, there are our numbers down the list right here for you to be able to call us. We'll be happy to speak to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, darling.
Quite welcome.
And if you've never called anybody before and never talked about abuse before, go ahead and do it. We're here to listen to you and help you.
And if you try one person and they don't fit your fancy, don't judge everybody by one person might be having a bad day or whatever. Keep reaching out to, because there's plenty out here where we do want to speak with you.
Yeah,
you matter.
Yeah.
Remember, you matter also. You know, one thing I've always felt bad about is, you know, they got these abuse women shelters, but they don't have abuse shelters for men, you know, for them to go to. Like if the wife is abusing them and they got all their assets and stuff, what's a guy going to really do?
Yeah.
I kind of feel sad about that, you know?
And that's why there's so many, you know, homeless people and drug addicts and things like that, because that's what they turn to, you know? If they're
exactly.
not going to get help, they go down here pretty fast. Yeah.
Yes. And you'll have other friends who generally care if you do join, if you do decide to come on here and start listening and talking. And maybe one day you'll be brave enough where you would want to go ahead and share your story. Or maybe you already want to share your story and don't know where to share it to. You just go to NASCA.org and you look up Bill Murray and get in touch with him on the contact list. And he will be glad, more than happy, to book you on his show.
Yeah. Thanks for that, darling.
We're always looking for people to tell their stories, right? To come on and tell the story of their abuse and recovery and where they are today. So anybody who's listening, if you'd like to tell your story, give NASCA a call.
Or even if you haven't done it for a while, a year, I think, then we'd love to have you back. You can come back on and tell your story.
Yes, and even like if you call like shows like tonight, if you were to call in tonight, you would have been able to have your couple 2 cents and worth too along with us.
Yeah, not be the center of truth, darling. some people may not feel comfortable with that quite yet, and so they can join the conversation. Yeah, that's good.
Right.
And I want to tell men, I know a lot of times that men are taught that it's not okay to cry, or, and I was taught that myself, you know, even as a woman, that it was not okay to show emotion. So I understand men, you know, having that, like, you're a sissy if you cry, and that's just so wrong. And one thing I always like to, I keep going back to God, and I said, well, if you think you're better than Jesus, and Jesus wept, if you're saying that he's a sissy, I don't know what to tell you then, you know?
Well,
but it's okay to cry.
Okay, because he does weep with us, too.
Yes. And a lot of times when I'm outside and it's raining, I just look up at him. I said, yeah, I know you're sad and crying about how the world is today, and I acknowledge him and say, but thank you for your cleansing, you know, with the water and stuff, you know. Thanks for the cleansing, you know.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you, darling. I think that even though I don't think that my childhood was as traumatic as yours, it doesn't mean that it wasn't traumatic, and it was, you know, my story, that I definitely know that God was a big part of my story as well, and why I think I am able
to remember. Remember this, at NASCA, we do not compare, though. You know what I'm saying? We don't compare, you know, on who's is worse or anything. Abuse is abuse, and it's totally unacceptable.
Yeah. Right.
That's right. That's right.
So, you know, it is.
So I'll stop you right there on that.
I know I'm not supposed to say that, but it does feel that, you know, it just just feels that.
Yeah,
way.
I know.
But no, you're right.
The way we've been.
But see, I've done that for so many years. That's who I am. You know, I am an empath, and so I kind of, you know.
But you know what we do when we, you know why, I think why they put a stop to doing that? I'll say this before I'll let y'all take over, because I know we got to go shortly. But you know how when we go like to say, oh, yours is worse than mine or whatever, then that discounts our own abuse. It discounts it down some. Like it wasn't as bad, so it's okay. You know what I mean? It's never okay.
No, it's not. No, it's not okay. Well, thank you, darling, for sharing with me. And again, for being on and sharing this evening. I know it was kind of a slow show, but we made it through.
Yay.
So,
yay.
For being on. It might have been a lot slower even without you. So I appreciate you being on with me.
Thank you.
Good job, y'all.
We're on Monday through Friday evenings at 8 p.m. Is that Eastern or something? Well,
Eastern.
I'm Mountain Time, so 6 o'clock my time. So, yeah, Eastern, 8 o'clock Eastern, and you can listen to it on NASCA.org if you want. And also remember that, as our good friend Penelope says, there are plenty of ears and eyes out there to protect all the children in the world. So if you see something, please say something. Good night, ladies. Thank you.
Good
night.
I'm loving tomorrow, 'cause that dawn was